Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue under cloudy and, I'd say, threatening skies. And joining me here in the Allstate Showcase Studio is Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman and 6th Congressional District candidate, delegate, actually, elected delegate for Ohio Governor John Kasich. And we've been talking, tomorrow is the kickoff of the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. We spoke with Mark Fratello, who's a Trump delegate from Elmhurst. He's already in Cleveland. And Pat Brady and I will be heading to Cleveland in a bit here as we try to escape the rain here in Chicago. We were talking, we've been talking about kind of the distancing that's been going on. Governor Rauner not attending. Mark Kirk, perhaps the most vulnerable U.S. Republican U.S. Senator seeking reelection. He's kind of took back his endorsement, and he's not going. And, of course, we've got Tammy Duckworth's the challenger, the Democratic challenger in that race. Her campaign has come up with a new ad about Kirk's support to write in General David Petraeus as the presidential candidate. I want you to listen to this ad.
The Petraeus case, to my mind, illustrates perfectly the kind of cases the Department of Justice is willing to prosecute.
Kirk told our own Manu Raju that he will not vote for Clinton. Instead, he will write in General David Petraeus, who I don't think has the security clearance to actually be commander-in-chief, but okay.
General Petraeus shared his information with his lover and then biographer.
In that case, you have obstruction of justice, you have intentional misconduct, and a vast quantity of information. He admitted he knew that was the wrong thing to do. That is a perfect illustration of the kind of cases that get prosecuted.
Does that mean you vote for Hillary Clinton?
No, David Petraeus is who I'd like to write in. I think he's much more better qualified. We need somebody who's going to be the best commander-in-chief we've ever had.
You can pick him, baby.
All right, so there you have that, and I mean, I think that really kind of sums up the conundrum for several Republicans.
Yeah, and myself included. The bottom line, I think, for a lot of people, and I think for Senator Kirk, is a couple points. Donald Trump's running on a Republican platform. He's not a free trader. He's advocated for war crimes. His economic plans are not consistent with what Republicans traditionally support. I mean, I joined the Republican Party because it's a set of ideals that I believe as to how we should run the country and the government, and he doesn't fit into that box anywhere, let alone the temperament problems where he has insulted women, handicapped people, veterans, Hispanics, immigrants, Muslims, just about every group you can imagine. So that to me is why, and I completely understand why somebody like Senator Kirk or others are not supporting Donald Trump.
I'm curious what your thoughts are about the pick of Governor Mike Pence, and what does that bring any unity here, any effort towards unity here?
Yeah, well, let me finish that last point, because sure. I wanted to say something else. But I do not sign on with these efforts now to disrupt the convention just to do it, and that's what's happening right now. It's over. He's going to be the nominee. The Rules Committee met last week. To me, that was the last chance to stop him from being the nominee, or at least open it up to the delegates, and that's got to stop. We got to come out of this not looking ridiculous. But I think Governor Pence was a great pick for a lot of reasons. The only thing problem with Governor Pence is his positions historically on a lot of issues don't line up with Donald Trump's. So hopefully Governor Pence will sit him down and say, hey, this is what a Republican is, Mr. Trump, and maybe we should get on board with free trade and some of the other things that he's supported through, or Governor Pence has supported since he's been in Congress now and as governor of Indiana.
Well, for example, I believe as a congressman, Mike Pence supported NAFTA.
Right. And that's the, to me, the whole thing drives me crazy about Trump is this idea that we can isolate ourselves in a world that's become more globalized. And history has shown this country, we grow as an economy when we are engaged in international trade. And to come out against this, and I understand the people that are frustrated with lack of job growth and income growth, but cutting out free trade is not the answer. And Governor Pence has been a free trader. Yes, it was. That was 94, right?
I believe so, yes.
That's the North American Free Trade Agreement, which has turned out to be a pretty good thing for the United States, I think. So, yeah, that's just one issue. You could probably go down 10 issues, including this idea of banning Muslims from coming to the United States. He was, Governor Pence, very critical of that.
Although he has backed off that criticism and, in fact, says that and makes it more nuanced that he supports a temporary kind of shutdown of immigration from countries that harbor terrorists.
I just hope that he doesn't have a Twitter account, because I think we need to put the Twitter, like you asked the question of the Trump delegate, and I think it's very good reasons, and he laid it out very well for why he supports Donald Trump at the press conference yesterday. Well, it's off script. Well, that's fine if it's stand-up comedy, but you're president of the United States, and in messaging is important. Knowing what you're going to say is important, because every word that comes out of your mouth, the world listens to. And that's what really scares me about Donald Trump. I remember that crash a couple months ago, or a terrorist attack where the plane blew up, and he's tweeting out before anybody even knows what happened, some anti-Muslim tweet. So that's not, I just don't think he has the temperament or the capacity or the intellectual ability, quite frankly, to be president.
Well, and I noted the optics of that too, that he introduces Mike Pence, and there's that moment where this is my guy, this is my running mate, this is the guy you stand with. And he introduces Mike Pence, shakes hands, and walks off the stage. And it's kind of like, it's all yours. And in some respects, if that doesn't just reflect that Donald Trump doesn't necessarily really care about the running mate, because it's all about him.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think the two points you made about the length of the introduction, you're talking about himself and walking away like that. You're supposed to stand there, raise your hand. This is our ticket. Because this person, and I think he made a good choice in this respect, that Mike Pence is certainly qualified to be commander-in-chief and would actually probably be a pretty good president. So he did it right there. I don't necessarily agree with that his pick is going to have a great impact on the Rust Belt states that Donald Trump needs to win. And I love Governor Pence, but right now he's not real popular in Indiana even. So I'm not sure if that's going to translate.
I actually was wondering if that might not be the best political option for Mike Pence, particularly with kind of the changing dynamic now with Evan Bayh getting into the Senate race.
Yeah,
there.
That's going to be a target for the Democrats. So all in all, though, a good pick. He's tremendous. He came in here for us. I don't know if you attended. We'd had that presidential deal 4 years ago. We had all the candidates come in, and he just knocked it out of the park. He was so good in his presentation speech.
We've got a call from Ron. Ron, welcome to the Sunday Spin.
Yes, good morning, Rick. Mr. Brady, I was a supporter of John Kasich. So with Ohio being one of the key states in the upcoming election, are you expecting him to play some kind of role by him being the governor of that state? And let this get your opinion. And do you think he should? So that's my question. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Ron.
It's a good question. The good thing about Ohio is, since it's always a swing state, it's always a battleground state, they have a very good state party organization, a ground game. So Ohio should be good for Republicans. If we get that ground game engaged, and I assume that who's ever running the state party there will be fully supportive of Donald Trump, and hopefully we'll have a good result. But even if you have a great ground game and a great state party operation, you got to have a candidate that appeals to enough people in a state like Ohio, and it's pretty close right now.
And as we've noted, John Kasich is the host governor of this convention. He does not plan to set foot in Quicken Loans Arena.
Yeah, it's not good for the Republican Party that this nominee is so divisive. I'm not going to vote for him, but I don't want to see the party be divided. So I'm putting it to rest on the no Trump stuff. It's time to concentrate on what we need to do is get guys like Senator Kirk and the down ticket people elected.
Well, but what does a John Kasich do then? I mean, I know he's making the rounds. He's speaking to the Illinois delegation tomorrow afternoon, those who want to attend. You're one of six Kasich delegates. There are nine Ted Cruz delegates, and the rest are Trump delegates. But is there an effort here to kind of set up for 2020?
There might be. I mean, I think he's wanted to run for president for 20 years, basically. He ran before unsuccessfully. I don't know what he's going to try to do. I think he's been a good governor. He'll probably concentrate on that. And hopefully, like, he's coming in here to raise money for the Illinois Republicans and for Senator Kirk. So hopefully he's going to engage in that kind of activity to help Republicans. I think a lot of us Republicans see the down ticket race as very important. and probably more of a focus in the presidential.
We're speaking with Pat Brady. He is the former state Republican chairman. He's also an elected John Kasich delegate from the 6th Congressional District. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to our pre-Republican National Convention edition of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue and Tribune Tower. And joining me here is Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman. He's also a John Kasich elected delegate from the West Suburban 6th Congressional District, and we'll be heading to Cleveland not long after the show. Pat, you mentioned about how the Stop Trump effort effectively, in your mind, ended with the issue of formatting the rules. And, you know, there was such a big buildup to that about the possibility that there could have been forced a minority report that could be brought to the floor that would allow delegates to vote their conscience rather than, you know, how they ostensibly were pledged. And it got defeated by a pretty large margin. And I guess, I mean, I understand, you know, Reince Priebus is in a real pickle with this. Sure. Because here's the guy who, you know, brought out the autopsy report on what Republicans need to do. But at the same time, you know, he knows Trump's the nominee and they have to orchestrate something to block any kind of insurrection.
Yeah, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do as chairman of the National Republican Party. That's the nominee. That's the process. And he's doing exactly what he should do, even if it was somebody other than Donald Trump. So I have no criticisms of him. I just think that we're going to have problems with our nominee.
Well, but let's look at, and again, platforms, you know, party platforms come and go. They're a two-day story, in essence.
Right.
But yet, you know, when you put things into the platform, like building a wall, following an autopsy report that says Republicans need to reach out and broaden the base, it's that dichotomy. Again, maybe nobody read the autopsy, nobody reads the platform, but...
But it's the same thing happened here in the Illinois State Party. Went down to the convention, tried to tweak a little bit with some language on recognizing same-sex marriage. A very, very benign change. Got out of the Rules Committee. I was on that committee, or the Platform Committee, and then overwhelmingly defeated in front of the broader...
By the whole delegation, right.
And... I mean, you can tell people things and do analysis. They don't have to listen or agree. But I think, and I'm a Republican, I love this party, we are going the wrong direction. We're losing a whole generation of millennials and others with positions like Trump takes on against immigration or immigrants and things like marriage equality. I mean, the youngsters just don't think that's a big deal. And if the whole goal is to win elections— I'm not saying compromise on principles, but at least be smart enough to recognize there's some change. But we just haven't done it as a party, and I think it's damaging.
One thing David Yepsen touched on earlier in the show was that he thinks that if there is any growth issue here for the party, that it's tapping into the blue collar and that, you know, the old Reagan Democrats, as it were, and that Trump's message does have a special appeal to them.
Far be it for me to even comment on something that Yepsen says. He's a lot smarter and knows a lot more
than all of us. Yeah.
I did see some analysis, though, that the people that came out to vote for Trump, we only added 6%, that they were actually just Republicans that voted early because they were fired up for Trump. And I agree. I've always thought that the blue-collar type voter is a voter that Reagan, you know, appealed to. And if you look at his 1980 acceptance speech, it was a lot about that. And that's a group we need to get back, but we can't get back by promising trade protection, which damages our economy, or some of the other silly things that Trump talks about. It's got to be about economic growth and why we're going to make this state and this country a better place for you to work and live and make more money and raise your family and be safe. And I think that's, you don't have to compromise any principles to articulate those messages effectively.
But isn't that where maybe somebody like Pence can come in?
Pence is super articulate on every issue. He's very, very, very good. But how much of a stage is the Donald going to give him?
Well, and frankly, how much attention is even paid to him.
And if he gets up and starts giving a free trade speech, which is entirely inconsistent with what Trump does, that's going to be the story. Not even what he's talking about. It's going to be about that he doesn't agree with the nominee. And again, that's my fundamental beef with Trump is his policies aren't the policies traditionally of the Republican Party.
So you don't want to see Trump be the nominee, but
it's over. Yeah.
So what about these? I mean, I mentioned in the Washington Post, there's a story that some of the people disgruntled with Trump that, didn't get their way in the Rules Committee.
They need to cut it out. It's over. All it does is create a news story about something that doesn't matter. We should be focusing on Hillary Clinton and her lurch to the left.
Well,
and where she is with Elizabeth Warren versus the nomination is over. Donald Trump is the nominee. Love it or hate it, he's the nominee. And before Thursday when they changed the rules, we had a chance. And it was within the process, and it can be respected if it happened that way. But this silliness of just creating a chaos to create chaos is not productive.
But I in the story that we have in the Tribune today, where I note that if there's a viable mantra for Trump, it is for Republicans, it is there's Hillary.
Oh, that I think she's the focus of this election. This is about her. At least from our side, people just absolutely can't stand her. It's remarkable the dislike for her, and she gives us a lot of ammunition.
But yet you still can't vote for Trump.
No, I can't vote for Trump. I'm not voting for her either.
So
I'm going to finally. I think I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do. We'll see what happens, but. I got to respect a guy that's totally honest. And when Gary Johnson came out and said he was going to quit smoking pot to run for president, it kind of caught my eye. That's a different kind of politician. I'm going to quit getting stoned.
That's a different kind of bumper sticker to run on, I will tell you. But and actually, David Yeps and I talked about that, too, where you're seeing in some of these national polls where Gary Johnson, as the Libertarian, is getting near 10 percentage points.
What's he need, 15 to get to the debates?
I think so. But
these debates are going to be the most watched event since the lunar landing. It's going to be a huge, huge. And I don't know if he would add or how it would be to have him on. I think I'd rather see Trump and Hillary go at it.
Well, and that's the issue. But obviously a Gary Johnson vote pulls away from Trump.
Yeah, the guy that I like on that ticket that I was hoping would get the top of the ticket is Bill Weld, the former Massachusetts governor, former U.S. attorney, real great Republican. I mean, he got elected in Massachusetts, I think, twice. But he's not the top of the ticket.
Oh, running mate's not good enough.
Not good enough. But it is a problem, and I've seen comments today in the paper and heard in the last week where there are people like me just struggling on what to do, and voting for Secretary Clinton's not an option for a lot of us, and voting for Donald Trump's not an option. So it's a strange election.
But do you think the effort to try, like Mark Kirk is doing, to try to create that distance, as much, because the opposite side, the Democrats, are going to do the labeling as much as they can. And in fact, we're seeing it from Kirk's campaign that she's a reliable, in their words, Democratic pawn. I mean, the labeling from the Democratic side with Mark Kirk is going to still cast him as a Trump guy.
The thing is with a couple things, but the thing is with the Kirk race, nobody has given me a reason not to reelect him. I mean, he's been a heck of a senator for this state that fits the state. He's a fiscal conservative, national security hawk, but he's a social moderate, works closely with Senator Durbin and the whole delegation. He's made some great picks for U.S. attorney and judge. He's done everything you should do. And everything that you said you were going to do when you were running. So I haven't really heard a good reason not to reelect him other than Tammy Duckworth. And I really haven't seen a reason that Tammy Duckworth's running. I don't know what she's running on. She's just going to be a rubber stamp for the administration. I don't know what her issues are. I mean, Mark's very clear on what his issues are.
But when he says, I mean, for example, when he was asked by Bloomberg News about, Mike Pence, and he said, I think that'd be a great pick. And then was asked, well, is that enough to get you to re-endorse Donald Trump? And he said, well, we'll see. And then the campaign has to clean it up later and say there's no way he's going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been pretty clear. He was the first one out saying that.
Well, but to open the door again, I mean, that there again is...
Well, we're all, and Paul Ryan, all these folks in leadership roles, Ryans are in tough spots because we are still Republicans and we want the party to do well. We just haven't nominated a terribly flawed candidate this time around.
Well, do you see that trickling down as like these legislative races?
I hope not. I think I've talked to some smart Democrats that say Trump actually helps us downstate with our Illinois House races because he's very popular down there. I mean, I'm at 10 points. This was a couple months ago, but they think that that could really help Republicans downstate. But Mark always, Senator Kirk always outperforms the top of the ticket. I think when McCain was running, he beat McCain by 18 here. When Alan Keyes was Senator Keyes, Mark, Senator Kirk was running for Congress.
Senator Keyes, did you say?
Yeah, Senator Keyes. Sorry about that. aspiring Senator.
You're trying
Keyes.
To rewrite history.
No, that's how we got President Obama.
Well, that is very true. That is very true.
But he, you know, and I always hear from Kirk campaigns, oh, he can't win, you know, and he always wins. So let's see what happens. But I still haven't seen a reason not to elect Mark, Senator Kirk, and I haven't really been given a good reason why we should put Tammy Duckworth in there. I really have no idea what she's running on.
That's Pat Brady. He's the former state Republican chairman. He's also an elected John Kasich delegate from the 6th Congressional District in the western suburbs. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.